If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast, the official podcast of jaysjournal.com and fansided.com, where we discuss all things Toronto Blue Jays baseball. We'll talk about news, rumors, and game recaps. So whether you're a diehard fan or just getting started with the team, this is the podcast for you. Here's your host, Craig Borden, with co-hosts Jason Lyons and me, Ken Alfred. You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast.
And all of you only getting me tonight, regardless of what you might have heard just a few minutes ago. Yes, this is Jay Bird Watching. I am Craig Borden, your host. And tonight, joining me, apparently new friend of the show. That's going to just be first time every couple months or something, it seems like. But I'm with Eric Rosenheck this evening. How are we doing, buddy?
Well, I'm doing better compared to 24 hours ago when I had a pretty brutal stomach bug. So yeah. The fact that I'm sitting up and able to communicate and speak in somewhat coherent sentences is a miracle, to be honest with you.
At least articulate enough for to be on this show anyways.
Yes. Yes.
So on that fact, as I start bringing my one beer for the show here, because I can't have the barroom chat for Blue Jays fans and not have a beer in my hand, I can completely understand why you might be abstaining from that this evening. But
yes,
to that point, did a second series win in a row possibly help you with your feeling a little bit better, Eric?
Oh, well, it certainly did. You know, that week, both those series against Miami and Oakland, not a good start for either one of them. And both were bad in distinct fashions, right? But you know what? When I think back to this past week, I got to give a big shout out to Santiago Espinal and Ernie Clement, because I would argue that the that first win against Miami in game two of that series, that was probably the biggest win of the week. They were scoreless. It was like the seventh or eighth inning. The offense, and the offense from our traditional sources, the Vladdies, the Boats, nothing was happening. And then Espinal came up. He was pinch hitting, gets a big hit, a double. He gets into scoring position. Ernie Clement comes up and gets Espinal in. Finds a ball that gets into no man's territory, and Springer brought him in as well. And that was it, 2-0. And I would say that win, you know, certainly helped change the momentum for the team leading into the Oakland series, as well as finishing with Miami.
Yeah, I would go to say, Eric, that might have been the start of what we saw as a final outpour yesterday against the Oakland A's. But, you know, we went into that series against Miami. Knowing that Miami was playing a little bit better baseball than they had been all season, we got trounced in that first game of the series to the point of near embarrassment. And by near embarrassment, I mean I was hiding my shame and still walking around work with a Blue Jays shirt on the next day. But to that point, everybody was like, "Wow, did you see that last night?" I'm like, "Yeah, I did. That's why I'm wearing this. I'm trying to feel better about it." So, trying to, like, you know, turn the frown upside down, I think. But those guys that you just called out there, I think that they got the thing going a little bit. We're obviously having a rough time scoring runs over the last week prior to that game. And just to get the wheels moving a little bit, it's amazing what having those guys in the bottom of the lineup and a role player in both of those occasions with Ernie Clement and Santiago Espinal be the one that really got it going and actually was enough to carry the offense in the great pitching performance that day. The next day you get the offense finally starting to churn a little bit, a 6-3 win on Wednesday. What are you thinking as, like, that was a turning point for this team to where we've seen it over the last few days? They've scored 4 runs every game since that 2-run win.
Well, the offense certainly woke up in game 3 against Miami. You know, Kevin was good. Kevin Gausman was good in that game. Not at his best, though. Not at his best. And thank goodness the bullpen was pretty airtight that day. But yeah, you can see things turning around, which is great to see. You know what? The Friday game, though, against Oakland, you know, and this was one of those hair-pulling situations where they score 4 runs in one inning and then stone cold silent. But you know what? They came back Saturday, scored 7 runs. Sunday, they just went to town. You know, it's a good offensive game when like almost every single person in the lineup is contributing. So, you know, you just hope that that continues. And, you know, as long as everyone keeps things going and everyone contributes, it's things are going to turn around. And you can tell things are turning around because finally, after a few weeks sort of on the outside, they're finally back in a playoff spot. And, you know, we have to acknowledge, you know, New York's not, or the Yankees aren't playing at their best. Houston isn't at their best. The Angels, despite just crushing Colorado one day, the next game they lost to Colorado. So, you know, the karma is good. The vibes are good right now with the Jays.
Yeah, trending in the right direction. And I think when I was trying to name tonight's episode, I was like, I understand it's the Oakland A's and the Miami Marlins, but at that point we were playing some pretty damn crummy baseball. So I can only take it with some, you know, such a bad thing that, you know, they were quote unquote underperforming teams that we just beat up on four wins to two losses over the last 6 games. But it just felt like Saturday that the team got their swagger a little bit. You know, Vladdy finally hits a home run in the Rogers Center for the first time season, and then turns around and does the same thing the following day. Feels like things were going back to normal, and I don't know if it was just a weight lifted off their shoulders. You saw them celebrating after that first home run on Saturday for Vladdy and Rogers Center, and it was like, okay, now he's allowed to have fun. After the game, he untucked the shirt thing and slit the hat around, but then he kind of like does a heel click. He's running off of the field kind of thing. So I've been wondering when this team starts having fun again and starts clicking to that same avenue. Did you feel like that maybe have happened? There was a little bit of reversal over the weekend.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Winning cures all. Winning cures all. You know, when you think back to 2015, 2016, 2015, when they're just steamrolling their way to a division title, everything is clicking. Everyone's smiling. Everything is positive. 2016 was a different story, if you remember. They had to sort of scratch and claw their way to get into a playoff spot. And, you know, August, they kind of went through a little bit of a funk and things weren't going well. And suddenly you heard about, oh, the things in the clubhouse aren't good. The guys aren't getting along. All these negative things. And then suddenly they win. They managed to pull it out. And we're not hearing those things anymore. So, you know what? Yeah. Winning cures everything. And as long as they keep winning, everything's good.
Yeah, I did want to, before we talk too much further into the series and stuff like that, is I do want to talk about, obviously, all the outpouring of offense on Sunday and whatnot, and some of the key role players over the weekend as well. But I've been hearing nothing but everybody get on Vlad Jr.'s case for the last how many weeks? And I'm like, don't worry about it. What are you expecting? He's not a bum. He's not going to, it's going to come, and it's going to come like a freaking, you know, force of nature at some point. And the thing I think kills me, Eric, is he was doing good.
Yeah, it's, you know what?
Vladdy.
This is what drives me crazy about how people treat Vladdy. Like, Toronto sports fans, and I, Toronto sports fans, Blue Jays fans, they've built up Vladdy to a certain level. They've put so many expectations on this guy, even before he got there, even way back in 2018 when people were like,
it's one home run in Montreal and everybody loses their
exactly.
Kittens,
right? Even before when him and Bo were playing in Dunedin. People were hyping this guy up. And I just, you know, I remember watching it. I'm thinking, you know, this kid, he's 19, 20. What are you doing? Right? What are we doing here? You know, it reminds me of what in the NHL when they draft all these young players and, you know, all these exceedingly crazy expectations we put on people.
Oh, you mean like how I'm wearing a Buffalo Sabres shirt right now and the fact that Jack Eichel sucked for how many years?
That's the,
and now,
sorry,
he,
that's,
now he wins a Stanley Cup.
I was going to say that Stanley Cup champion, Jack Eichel.
Yes. Yes, but you get to say that just like Ryan O'Reilly did the year after he left Buffalo. And I just think it's hilarious too, because right now that Ryan O'Reilly is looking pretty damn good for the Buffalo Sabres in a trade and getting everybody back to what it's going to be a winning team near it quickly in Buffalo here. But the Vladdy thing, I agree with you. It's like, you know, you can only set the bar so high. We knew he was going to be good, but I just, you know, I look at his stat line. If you were telling me he was shit and I was a guy that didn't watch the games and would look at this stat line, I was like, what's the problem?
Exactly. Exactly.
He's got 49 RBIs, 11 home runs, and 284. That's right there. Exactly.
He's a solid offensive contributor, except, but, you know, we've built him up. We've hyped him up so much that, you know, we expect him to hit 50 home runs and collect 100 RBIs and have an OPS over, you know, with, you know, 1.00. So, you know, this is just,
so
this,
I want to
this
point
doesn't
this out.
Surprise me.
Yeah, I'm going to list off another gentleman that's got very similar numbers on minus the batting average. And as soon as I tell you the name, you're going to be like, okay, well, that's him. 255 batting average, 17 home runs, 41 RBIs, and he scored 40 or 50 runs. You have any guess on who it might be?
Is this a player on the Jays?
It is a Major League Baseball great. I will give you a division is American League East or West, I mean, sorry.
Oh, is it Shohei?
You're not too far off.
Trout.
It is Mike Trout. Those are his numbers from his current stat line at 2.5 WAR. And that's basically where Vladdy is right now.
Wow. Well, you know,
and, you would, and everybody's saying, oh, Mike Trout's looking like Mike Trout again. It's so much fun. You know, it's like, okay, but he's still batting 251. Vladdy's got those same numbers. Nobody's saying anything different. When's he going to show up? I keep hearing.
Yeah, exactly. So, and look, as long as he keeps contributing, like, look, if he just hits singles and doubles, I'm okay with that. Because if it leads to wins, who's complaining, right?
And to that point, the biggest thing I think that people forget on this whole thing, too, is that Vlad Guerrero is not just a bat anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He is a full defensive package at first base. And right. I think people really need to remember that, too, because you're not just getting the glove. It's the whole package, like I mentioned. Just think of how far we've come from first baseman, right? If you talk a few years ago when we were, you know, competing and we were, you know, trying to get past the Royals in the playoffs and stuff, Justin Smoke's playing first base.
Right.
Or Chris Colabello.
Right.
Right. You look at Blue Jays' great first basemen, you almost got to go all the way back to Delgado or John Olerud before you find somebody that's even in the ballpark of WAR at right. first base to what Vlad Jr. is currently doing.
Yeah. And you remember when Vlad was supposed to be a third baseman?
There is that.
And so if you remember, back in the unicorn season of 2020, everyone was crapping on Vladdy for his defensive skills. And not right. only that, Craig, who's the bench coach? One of the best first basemen of all time. Who's even helping Vladdy go from a gold glove to, hey, even more gold gloves.
Correct. And I think that's something that Blue Jays fans get to look forward to regardless going forward. He's going to make amazing plays in the first base position. And just to put this way, I think he's heated up appropriately. Over the last week, he is batting 350 with 7 RBIs, 2 home runs, and 3 triples. I'd say he's figured it out again.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah. And to that point, I know there's some different competition coming in town. Like I said, we'll get to that shortly, but the fact that we did finally get to see somebody get beat up a little bit on Sunday. And I think it's kind of ironic because you called out the game where we won 2-0 against the Miami Marlins of the day where we kind of flipped the script a little bit of what was going on the previous week. And the guy that was pitching on both that occasion and on Sunday when we just destroyed the Oakland A's, Yusei Kikuchi.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think of the fact that he's been... I still can't say enough good things. Has he been insanely good? No. But has he been way better than a fifth starter should be? Yes.
Yes. And it's like, look, I've said it many times before. Hey, if they can pitch like Cy Young's out there, that's great. But as long as they can go out 6-7 innings, give your team a chance to win. That's all right. We need. Just give your team a chance to win. And that's what he's doing. That's what he's doing. And you know what? It helps. He got a lot of offense early and often. So that certainly helps him as well. You know, remember at the end of the season, I mean, the poor guy, he was clearly embarrassed about what happened. If I'm not mistaken, he stayed in the States. He could have gone home to Japan, but he stayed in the States, went to the PDC, spent pretty much all of winter there working on his mechanics, working on everything. He even said in spring training when they're talking about the pitch clock, he said, listen, I love the fact that there's the pitch clock because now I don't overthink. And that's playing a role. And hey, keep it going.
Point? I don't think it's helping just him either. I've seen a few other Blue Jays that's helping to that point. I think that's part of the reason that Jose Berríos is finally, regardless of the fact that he was one of the fastest working pitchers on the Blue Jays rotation, it's that next piece to it. It's like, I have to work this quicker. It's not going to work. So there's just no chance for you to even get, like, Kikuchi was saying, there's nothing to get in the head. Just focus and throw.
Yeah, just pitch.
Exactly. You know, it's the old adage I used to teach kids when I was playing, you know, coaching and stuff. It's like, I know it feels hard, but you're playing catch at the end of the day with a guy behind the dish. Try ignoring the batter to a certain point. But when you, I know it's hard. It's as a guy that pitched, tried and failed.
Yeah. Me too. Me too.
I know it's not easy, but I do think that when you can find those ways to boil it down to something simple, and I see that's what Yusei Kikuchi's done, and it's working in spades to the point where he's had two incredible outings over the last week.
Oh, he's been phenomenal. He's been phenomenal. And I bet, you know, there's a lot of people in the Jays Twitter world, a lot of people are eating crow. And I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Don't give Jose Bautista that giant contract. What are you thinking?
Well, you know,
that's my favorite one. Dude.
This is me. See, this is why I can't be a baseball GM, because if I was a baseball GM, I would just give a blank check to Jose and say, hey, write down whatever number you want. It's yours. I'd be the one leading the convoy of trucks filled with money for his house. But that's why I think with my heart. I can't do that if I'm a GM. So
we're going to see where this heart goes later with a recent rumor floating around that might be fun to talk about. So on that note, Yusei Kikuchi's thrown 13 innings over the last 7 days, only given up 4 hits in 1 earned run, and only walked 2. I think that is the more impressive number out of all those numbers. So you knew the strikeouts were going to be there. He had 14 strikeouts in 13 innings. But to that fact that, you know, he's found the way to increase the strikeout to walk rate substantially over the last 2 starts. I cannot say enough good things, because you look at that same time frame, Gausman and Berríos did really well in each of their starts, but they each gave up a 2-run or a 3-run stint. Chris Bassett gave up 4, but had a really rough day at the ballpark because his team didn't help him out too much on a couple of key errors. But to that point, he's right now out of the main 4. He had the best week ever, you know, kind of thing going.
Yeah, so. And well-deserved. Give them a chance to win. That's all we need.
And then the perk with the off day today worked out pretty well with the fact that we didn't have to worry about the Alek Manoah spot.
Well, we can go July 1st. Although they seem to have, I'll tell you, Trevor Richards, you know, going into this season, he was a big red flag for me, but he's making me eat crow, because I was definitely wrong about him. He is pitching phenomenally well, and he's done well as an opener. I hope that continues until Alec is ready, whenever that is.
Correct. And the rumor is that he might actually pitch on July 1st for Canada Day. I don't know how I feel about that, because I'm still waiting. He's been pitching at the rehab facility, the, you know, athletic facility down in Dean, Florida. I haven't seen that he's actually had a start. I don't remember. Maybe he has, but I'm pretty sure that I'm not just saying. I haven't heard news.
Yeah, he hasn't been getting into any game action. Seems like he's doing a lot of the simulation baseball that they do down there, and spending a lot of time in the lab. And look, I just hope there's a Mel Queen down there to help him out.
I think there is a Mel Queen down there.
Oh, looks like Craig is frozen. But, you know, when Alec is ready, you know, hopefully he performs well as we sit here waiting for Craig. Oh, there you are. Oh, and he's frozen again. So, yeah, look, Craig is right. It looks like Alec hasn't gone into any game action, but it seems like that is the next step for him. And, you know, we don't see what's going on down there. We just only hope that he's improving and he's finding some kind of zen, and, you know, everything is coming back together. You're still there, Craig. Oh, there
I'm
going to
get in a wave because it's thunder and lightning outside. So anyways, apparently it's going to be like that. There's a loose something somewhere that's probably screwing my internet over. But anyway, I was trying to say there might be an equivalent of Mel Queen down there. But the fact that Hyunjin Ryu is also rehabbing at the same facility. And we know how buddy-buddy he was with Alek Manoah when he came up to the majors. I really am wondering if that relationship, Eric, is going to be one of the reasons that he has a little bit of resurgence here.
Now, I hope. Fingers crossed. I'm praying for Alec every day.
It comes down to a lot of times the right set of eyes. You mentioned Mel Queen. You know, That was a perfect example of having the right person in the right time to straighten somebody. So it is what it is. But to that point, I really do think that we are far from Alek Manoah being a Ricky Romero situation, I think.
Right.
That was all sorts of stuff that went into that, you know, equation to unfortunately.
Yeah, Ricky tried to do too much. Ricky was trying to carry his, you know, you remember 2012, everyone was injured. And Ricky was bothered by his knees, and he tried to carry the team on his back. And, you know, it could. And I mean, maybe there is something with Alek in terms of an injury or something bothering him.
Who knows?
Yeah.
I'm not Alek Manoah. I can't tell you to that point. I figure they'll figure out whatever it is to get him back to that level, because there's so much talent, And I can't believe some of the stuff I keep reading in baseball news, period, that says the Blue Jays are going to trade Alek Manoah at the deadline for somebody.
Oh, for fuck.
And I'm just thinking, like, why would you even sell that low as a Blue Jays owner?
That sounds like clickbait to me.
Oh, 100% clickbait. I'm not trying to go into a giant piece of that one, Eric, but I just think it's hilarious because it's not just regular writers saying it. It's like the ESPN quote-unquote gurus for baseball trades and stuff
but
like that.
Who would take Alek? And what are we going to get back for Alek in his current state?
Right? Correct. And that's what I would say. Like I said, you're selling low a guy that was trending towards Cy Young. Stupid.
Okay, and let's say, this is super hypothetical, but let's say it's the Angels saying, hey, we'll give you Ohtani, and he'll, you know, you guys can sign him for a contract, and, you know, for Alek, okay, sure, okay.
But you're not going to get that value, I don't think.
Well, right, exactly, now. But that's a situation where you would consider trading Alek. But still, this is not the time, and I can't imagine the Jays would just give up on him after everything.
You talk about a Blue Jay prospect or somebody as a young arm that would get traded before him. Ricky Tiedman would be on the block quicker than I would think Alek Manoah would be.
Exactly.
But to that point, I love Ricky Tiedman too, and I look forward to seeing more from Ricky Tiedman. But we'll see. But to that point, I just think it's hilarious that he's going to find something out down in Dunedin, and they're going to click, and it's going to come back. I just hope it's sooner rather than later.
Well, of
because
course.
What do you get? But I also don't want to rush it. You mentioned, Trevor Richards has been the eat crow candidate for all Blue Jays fans this year, me included. I'm going to make a joke here that I think you'll appreciate. Trevor Richards is this year's Aaron Loop.
My God, you know, Loop's still going. I think he's with the Angels, is he not?
And he's actually doing quite well still with the Angels, or at least he was up until this year. I don't know what his current stuff looks like this year. I kid you not, Eric. I saw Aaron Loop pitching here in Rochester with the Buffalo Bisons probably 2019. And I was like, this guy will never pitch in the majors again.
Well, hey, listen.
It was that bad.
Things happen.
I'm glad he made me crow. I really do, because I liked him. He's a great guy.
So. And you know how our fan base is, the Blue Jays fan base. And, you know, I'll admit I have a bit of a love-hate relationship with them. But
the Twitterverse?
Yeah, well, there's always got to be a scapegoat, this need for a scapegoat. And he was that. And I just don't see the point. I never see the point with a scapegoat, because it's not like they're purposely going out there to stink. These are the best players in the world. And, you know, you gotta cut them some slack. Things, you know, they're trying to do the best they can.
Yeah. And the biggest thing for Trevor Richards, I think, same thing as we were talking about with Kikuchi. He simplified it. Mm-hmm. He's had to do a little bit unsimplifying since being an opener. He got it down to two pitches. Throw the changeup, throw the fastball.
Hey, whatever works. Whatever works.
Got down to a 1.15 ERA in 35 innings pitched. So I'd say he's figured something out.
Yeah, heck. Maybe send him to the All-Star game. Be one of those relievers. I think he's earned it.
Like you're trying to get segue points or something, Eric. Yeah, because that was where I was going. Very, very near future here. I would have put a bow on the weekend here, though, before we start diving into all-star votes and all that kind of good stuff. Because there's a lot loaded on there for Blue Jays fans, too. Key takeaways from the Marlins series. What are you thinking that the Blue Jays can use to go forward into the series this week?
Against the Giants?
Correct.
Are we talking just Marlins or Marlins and
either or. Oakland. Most recently, obviously, the A's series. But to that point, the big thing is, like I said, I think they gained some good pieces over the weekend here that can hopefully carry them forward over the next week.
Well, you know what? Scoring early. Score early and as often as you can, which I know sounds super cliched and super obvious. But you know what? When you saw it in the Miami game and you saw it certainly on Sunday, it certainly sets the trend and the tone. And okay, yeah, I know people don't always believe in momentum, but when you can score early, when you can get those runs in, you know, it certainly can put you in the right mood and give you the right vibes. And you know what? It's just have faith in this offense because yes, they have 100%. They've gone through a bit of a dark period, but this is a really good offensive team. You've got some of the best hitters. With Vladdy leading the way and Bo leading the way. And then you got Chapman and you got Springer. They don't even have to be the main offensive threats. That's Vladdy and Bo. But you've got those two. And you know, Brandon Belt's been coming around very nicely. And Danny Jansen's had some really good moments. So just keep
Danny
it going.
Danny Jansen's looking like a new man over the last week.
I've been seeing it for the last couple of years, the stupid injuries he gets. And that's, you know, not to say he's stupid for getting it. It's just shit ass luck. The same shit ass luck that Aaron Sanchez got. You know, it's kind of derailed it a little bit, but when he's healthy and he's mashing, it's beautiful. It's just great. This is the Danny Jansen that dominated the minors once he started wearing glasses.
Yep. I know. And that was fun to watch all of a sudden because I watched him in that sitting in the bleachers in Manchester in New Hampshire and then seeing him in Buffalo that same year when he all of a sudden started wearing the glasses. I was like, I watched him in Lansing last year and this didn't do this. So it is what it is. But at that time I was traveling for my job. So I was able to, you know, see some more of the minor league teams that I currently see anyways. Just get to see the Buffalo Bisons play in the Rochester Red Wings here. So outside of that though, but the Blue Jays are still, and people sleep on it a little bit. We're still in or just out of the top 10 of most of the major hitting categories in baseball. Home runs is the one we've fallen behind on, which is very uncharacteristic for a Toronto Blue Jays team. But the fact that they are number 8 in total bases, for example, but runs batted in, they're at number 12. Now, doubles, they're in 6th place in the league. Their hits is 3rd in the league. I get why we have a low runners in scoring position batting average when you're getting opportunities like that. If you don't hit one out of the quarter times, right? It's right. Going to suck. Mm. But the fact that the opportunities are still there, regardless that this team hasn't quote-unquote peaked yet, is what I agree with you wholeheartedly. If they can start attacking the hitters early, that will lead to a lot more wins.
Yeah, look, it's been ebbs and flows. The season is full of ebbs and flows and ups and downs. And look, the offense went through a down period. I think we can all agree on that. And, you know, I don't have a crystal ball. We got to let the story play out. My hope is that it just goes up and up and up.
I think there's enough going on good over the last week that the main core of this batting line has shown up. You know, like I said, regardless of the fact that Danny Jansen only had a few hits over the week, he still drove in 2 and hit a home run.
Right.
You know what I mean? He found a way to offensively contribute, but he's the only guy that batted below 270 over the last week that's in the regular part of the lineup. And it's including, funny enough, Tyler Hinneman.
Yeah, who unfortunately he had to leave the game on Sunday due to, looks like he kind of strained the lower back muscle or something. Which,
yeah,
that's 2 catchers down, which isn't great. And I don't know how Rob Brantley's been doing in Buffalo, but you know, the off day helps as little because they can sort of evaluate. And you know, I get Varsho's there, but you know, I kind of prefer if Varsho stays in the outfield. You know, let's not put anything at risk. So
yeah,
hopefully
Varsho's in the same category as why Nate Pearson's not a starter to me.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But yeah, we'll see what happens with Heinemann, and hopefully Kirk can come back. Those staples, from what I heard, is the stitches came out of his hand. So, you know, hopefully he can get the feel back and get back to sort of game mode, and he can get back out there.
Yeah, talking about bad luck too. Kirk was just starting to find it with the lumbar and was unfortunately plunked like that. So, to that point, glad to hear he's going in the right direction. So, should we talk All-Stars, or do you want to add anything else to that conversation before we move forward here?
No, let's talk about who's going to Seattle.
The Blue Jays have five options on the current All-Star ballot for the quote-unquote finalists. And in the midst of that whole thing, Blue Jays fans, make sure you get your votes in before the 29th, because that is the last day for ballot submission for the final vote. Right now, it's down to many a... Wow, crap. Of course, I hit the buttons and voted, God forbid. That it's I voted for Vladdy at first, but I thought I was going to be able to see my whole everybody ballot here, but apparently I'm going to bring it back all up again. This wants to be stupid. So, but anyways, I made sure I locked my vote in for Vlad and Bo. I can't say with the other competition that Whit Merrifield really deserves the win over. I forget who I voted for her second base. Who did I vote?
We're talking about starters here, right?
Correct. Okay. But that doesn't mean that they're not going to make the team. But exactly. I would think those five guys have a good shot at.
Absolutely. I think with my heart on this one. So I want all of them in there. Heck, I want Trevor Richards in there. I can't help but think, you remember the good old days when we would sit in the stadium and they would pass out the ballot cards and we'd have to punch out the whole. I miss those days. Now we got to go to do this and.
Yeah, I have a giant Rogers Center fathead on my wall in my back room, and it's easily like 6 feet long, so like 3 meters wide and stuff like that. So in the midst of that, where the camera shot was taken from like right behind home plate up on the 500 level, mm-hmm. you could see people punching out the holes in those All-Star. And then my favorite Blue Jay of all time is on the Jumbotron for the giant picture on my wall.
Okay.
Kelly fucking Johnson.
KJ. Oh, wow. I was not expecting that. I thought you were going to go with Kelly Gruber.
And that was, by the way, sarcasm, because Kelly Johnson was far from my favorite Toronto Blue Jay.
Yeah, well, I would. No disrespect to Kelly Johnson. You know, he was a decent infielder, but.
Correct.
Favorite Blue Jay. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. But at that point, I was like, oh, my God. So I pulled the thing. I was in like 2015. I saw it on Amazon-ish. I'm like, oh, I could use something for my house. You know, go on it while I'm in the middle of the desert traveling. And I'm like, they'll be there when I get home. I'll put it up on the wall. Pull out the giant tube, unroll it. And I'm like, Kelly Johnson. Dude,
wow.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. Out of all the people, clearly the person that took that picture wasn't paying attention to the scoreboard that day. They were there taking pictures.
You know, all I remember with Kelly Johnson, you know, again, decent infielder. He managed to wake his way to the Rays, and I was at a game. It was the day they put Carlos Delgado on the wall on the the wall of excellence.
Yeah.
The level of excellence. And R.A. Dickey was on the mound, and he the knuckleball didn't dance to Kelly Johnson, and Johnson just crushed it. And that's my memory. That's my memory of former Blue Jay in a Rays uniform coming back to haunt the team.
Google search isn't too friendly to Kelly Johnson, by the way. Came up as about 15 different engineers first before you find baseball player. And that was longer ago than I thought. That was 2012 was when he was last on the Blue Jays.
Yeah. Cause I think he was during the
Aaron Hell trade.
Yeah, that was exactly. He came from Arizona.
That was a fun team that didn't go anywhere.
Oh, 2012? Oh, of course. Well, we just mentioned it with Ricky Romero. Every single player was injured. Almost every single player, and they were inconsistent. And there was this horrific stretch in April, this 1 week where Morrow got hurt, and then Kyle Drabek got hurt, and then
Bautista got hurt that year too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was the wrist. He fucked up his wrist pretty badly that year. And Aaron Laffey, that was the other pitcher. Like three pitchers, three straight games. Right? They got injured. And
yep.
Hell of a mess that team was. That was John Farrell's Farrell, of course. That was his last season with the Jays.
Yeah, I'm trying to. Now I'm curious who was actually in that rotation outside of him. Henderson Alvarez was the workhorse, quote unquote, that year.
Drew Hutchison. Hutchison came up as a rookie.
First year.
He got hurt. I think that was his. He got Tommy John out of that season as well.
Yep. We saw the last of Kyle Drabek that year.
And, that was a unfortunate.
Carlos Villanueva got a giant pile of starting and half not. And that was the end of the first tenure of Jay Happ's career, too, as a Blue Jay.
Yeah.
So yeah, there was a lot going on, though. I can't put that.
Who was it?
That was one of those teams that was like, wow, this could look really good on paper. You know, you thought you were getting something with JPR and Sevilla, and you got 18 runs from that year. Brett Laurie, Colby Rasmus, who was supposed to be good.
Eric Thames.
Rajay Davis, I can't steal first base at that time in my career.
Yeah, Eric Thames was on that team as well. And, well, that was the big controversy going into that year, too, if you remember, because everybody wanted Snyder because everyone loved Snyder, but Snyder wasn't playing up to his potential. So Thames got the nod, and he became he sort of became public enemy number one, which I thought was a little unfair.
Yeah, and then a guy that I honestly was shocked that never got a full crazy chance and had some major health issues that led to his downfall a little bit. I loved watching David Cooper as in the minor leagues, you know, and I was like, oh God, it's John Olerud's swing. I was waiting for that to come through, and it never did because, like I said, he kind of had some health issues and never got fully back into it. So
that's a shame. It was a real shame. I think that was also, that was Yan Gomes. Yan Gomes made his, I saw him. I saw his major league debut in his first, I think one of his first at bats, he hit a home run. Yeah. Of against a game against the Mets that I watched. But who else?
David Cooper ended up winning the minor league player of the year award for the Toronto Blue Jays, got into 40 games that year, like I said, with the Toronto Blue Jays, and then barely played 40 more games in the minor leagues even after that.
Damn, that sucks. That's, you know, you win some, you lose some. It's not easy.
So anyways,
shout out to the 2012 team. Shout out to John Farrell. I'm over you. I'm over the, you know, I'm not mad at you anymore, John, if you're listening.
Yep.
Wherever you are.
Not heard about him being the first manager in how many years to be traded.
Yeah. For Mike Avilas. Mike Avilas. Which I think
that went about as well as the Mike Napoli for Frank Francisco trade.
Yeah. Well, you know, just a reminder, AA wasn't perfect all the time.
Although he's making you fool that he's down in Atlanta with money now, finally. So anyways, let's talk, like I said, we were talking All-Star ballot. I agree with you that I would love to see all five of those guys make the roster. But like I said, my guiding light for the baseball ballot is always who's the best person at each of those positions. And when it gets down to two people, like I said, Vlad is still having an insanely good year, as we were talking about earlier. As much as I have loved what Whit Merrifield has been to this offense as a catalyst, I couldn't say that he's having a better year than Marcus Semien. Because he's Marcus Semien from what the Blue Jays fans remember again. And going through third base, I was very torn. Because right now it's Josh Young of the Texas Rangers and Matt Chapman is the final ballot. And I would say if Chapman even continued half of what he did for that insane April, that he would have easily won this. But if you look at the numbers, Josh Young is right there with a lot of these guys that are, you know, the leaders in the major leagues offense. So yeah. I unfortunately was split.
Yeah, listen, if the vote was held like May 1st, Chappie probably would have gotten more votes than any other player.
You're probably not wrong. Then the fact that he's trending up again lately, too, is good timing for him.
And a good welcome sign. But hold on. Let's be honest, though. How many fans are going to go online and vote for players based on stats and who's playing better?
A stat nerd we know.
Well, yeah. And no disrespect to that. I admire that. I think it's great, but you know, the majority of fans, it's a popularity contest.
Guys.
We want to see the best and the most popular stars. That's what the All-Star game should be. And, heck, all the teams are doing it. Hey, vote Blue Jays, vote these guys, vote that guy. You know, they want as many players as they can in that All-Star game. So just,
hence the reason why Brendan Belt did get so many votes in the first round, because I forget, was it Mike Trout that they asked?
Or was it, I think it was against Ohtani.
Went Ohtani.
Yeah.
It is like, I'm going to win anyway, so it wasn't. But to that point, Brandon Belt deserves some votes. I'm glad he got it because there was a point where he was actually carrying this offense when Bo had a little bit of a dip. Chappie was down. Mm-hmm. And Vlad was, you know, just doing that. Was honestly, if you talk about the downside of Vlad, that was the week that he was just swinging at everything kind of thing. So it worked out, though. I think he's been slowly building back up to that. And then going to shortstop, Eric, I really don't think there's a contest here at all.
Oh, it's got to be
Bichette. Bubba Shett has been one of the best shortstops in baseball, especially when you look purely at offense.
You know what? Since
you know how to book flights and hotels, all you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Since what, like mid-August of last year, Bo Bichette's been one of the best players in baseball, period.
Correct.
So if he's
his position.
I mean, if he's not starting at short in Seattle, it's a crime against humanity.
I tend to agree with you on that fact, batting 318 with 47 home runs and an OPS of 856. I'm sorry to say that, you know, the only guys that are beating him are Yordan Alvarez on this ballot, Randy Arozarena, and Aaron Judge. And those three guys don't get as many at bats that Bo Bichette does.
You know what I can see? Obviously, I could see Judge getting more votes, but the other guys, no way.
No, but I mean, I would think those guys are deserving. There is that too, and honestly, I'd be shocked if he isn't the leading vote getter going into this too. So,
and it has happened.
It fits. It's going to. I think I'd be very shocked if it doesn't. So, Blue Jays fans, start pounding those vote buttons for Bo Bichette. But then the rest of my ballot, like I said, I rounded out with Alvarez, Randy Arozarena, and Aaron Judge. As much as I didn't want to vote for Aaron Judge, he's got 19 home runs. He's leading all the guys in home runs on this ballot right now, outside of Mookie Betts on the National League side. I couldn't hurt it.
And it's amazing what happens to the Yankees when Aaron Judge is not in their lineup.
Oh, really? You mean there's nobody depth-wise when you throw a giant brick of money at somebody like Aaron Judge? It's exactly what I hit a lot. Yeah, so I live in Rochester, New York, which is six hours from New York City, by the way, for anybody who doesn't have a globe.
You're in Yankee and Met country, although probably more Yankee than Met.
It's funny enough, more Yankees and Red Sox fans on this side of the state, which I don't understand the Red Sox thing. I think it was just that rivalry at the time that infected everybody.
Yeah.
But in the midst of that, though, I couldn't believe how many Yankees fans where I live here were completely split on signing Judge for that giant pile of money.
Really?
It was a good 50-50 or damn near close to it, because they were just seeing that, like, wow, we could really fill out the team and actually run with something, or we could sign the most current day prolific home run hitter and hope he lasts that contract. I think he's going to, and this is just those contracts when you get to those ages. It's going to be Albert Pujols.
Yep.
Miguel Cabrera. Any of these guys that I also love, by the way. But,
you know, they deserve it. If they can make it happen, their agents can make it happen. They deserve it. And you know what? If you're one of those, you know, I remember with Pujols when he signed that huge deal with LA, I thought to myself, well, if they can get 5 good years out of him, it's worth it. Heck, even with Springer. 6 years, that's not very Blue Jay-esque, right?
Nope.
But if you can...
And that's trending on the right side so far.
You know, if you could get at least, you know, half of that, and I don't see him slowing down or anything, and thank God, knock on every bit of wood you could find, he stayed healthy.
You know, and the fact that I think the big thing that helps him out is he doesn't have to be center field anymore.
Exactly.
What's the worst case scenario that he slides more into being a DH over the next few years? He's still going to be more athletic than any DH in the American League.
Exactly. So. And shout out to George, too. Second now, number two on leadoff home runs behind Ricky Henderson.
And sorry to say, folks, but he's probably not going to catch Ricky.
Yeah, exactly.
As much as I would love to see him do that, Ricky Henderson is something unhuman, just saying.
Ricky's a legend. Ricky's a legend. And I'm forever grateful for those 2-3 months he was in a Jays uniform.
That was, I always thought that was, because that's one everybody forgets. 1993, the World Series, he's the one that got that whole last inning going.
Yeah, exactly. Great leadoff hitter. And he wasn't that great of a hitter with the Jays, but man, when it counted the most, he was there.
He found a way to make it work.
Yeah.
And he ended up having a pretty good career even after he left Toronto, too. So,
oh, he played way well into his 40s.
Oh, yeah. I want to say he wasn't going like full Julio Franco where he went into his like 49th year or whatever it was while he was still playing with the Atlanta. But he was a good 43, 44, I think, when he finally hung it up with the Red Sox. So,
yep.
But to that point,
look, you take care of your body and they'll take care of you.
Brought some extra swag to the club, you know, a little trot with a home run. And,
yep. I want to say it was, I think Turner Ward had his number. And I think he gave Turner Ward a very substantial gift in exchange for that number. Similar to how Roger Clemens gave Carlos Delgado for 21, gave him a substantial number or a substantial gift for his jersey number.
Yeah. So we're talking Ricky Henderson, as I said, and you hit the nail on the head. He batted .215 with the Toronto Blue Jays in 44 games, but he found a way to steal 22 bases. Yeah. Scored 37 runs. I'd say he made up for the fact that he only, if he got on base, he scored.
Yeah, well, it didn't matter. It's Ricky freaking Anderson, right?
Yes. And I was not wrong, but he played to his 44th year in our 44 year age season, but he retired as a Los Angeles Dodger.
Okay.
It was the year before.
I think he went into the Independent League too. I think he played indie ball after all that, after his major league career. I think there's like a 30 for 30 documentary on that, or remember hearing something about that.
It's fun stuff either way. But to that point, I'm just glad you have people like Ricky around the game that love to play regardless. And it was fun, something different to watch. Wasn't home runs all the time. Beat you with everything and every little skill that he had. So good stuff. But anyways, is there anything else you would like to put a bow on the All-Star game other than we have to talk that Kevin Gausman probably should be pitching?
Yeah, absolutely. Kevin Gausman should be pitching it. I'm all for it. And I mean, actually, you know what? When it comes to All-Star games, I'm a little bit, I don't know, I get a little a little hesitant when the pitchers go in there just because I don't want them to screw up their arms or anything. But you know what? If he could throw an inning there, I'm all for it.
I will say that some of the best TV I've seen in baseball in a long, long time was last year with the All-Star break with Alek Manoah and then talking to a Lawrence pitching.
And you know what? I'm probably the only schmuck in the world that was watching the international feed off of Sportsnet. So I didn't get to hear that. I didn't watch the Fox. I was watching Sportsnet. So I had no idea what was going on. It was until after. And I'm like, God damn it. I don't get. I usually stream through one of my phones or my laptop or something. So I got to go with what Sportsnet does. And they usually use the international feed. So anyway, that's on me. That's on me.
Yeah.
My mistake.
Three punches and you were out. So I wanted to play around with something, but I want to give you one headline that I was actually surprised to read not too long before the stuff here. Pat Malataro of the Buffalo Bisons, he's their beat writer and their announcer, wrote that Yasvera Zulueta actually is being announced to the 2023 Futures game. Mm-hmm. So that is a Blue Jay prospect that many Blue Jays fans got to see this spring. A little tantalizing as far as it goes, Eric. He's got some really cool weapons that could actually maybe help this team.
I always listen. Prospects always kind of make me a little nervous because, you know, if you're in the system, anybody can make it, right? Correct. Sometimes the players that, you know, sometimes those prospects don't make it. Sometimes those prospects don't always live up to their potential. And then sometimes you got players drafted in these backgrounds that actually become superstars, right? Like Kevin Pillar was like, I might not say Kevin Pillar is a superstar, but you know, he was drafted in a round where a lot of players don't make it past single A. So,
and the fact that he almost won two gold gloves against our current center, right?
Yeah.
So more of the reasons I used to hate Kevin Kiermaier, but that's besides the point.
I tell you, you're going to look good in that Kevin Kiermaier jersey at the end of the year.
Someday, somehow. To that point, I, as much as I'd love to vote for him, I couldn't vote for him over those three gentlemen that I was mentioning a minute ago. So this guy with only 18 RBIs versus a guy with 50, he was like, I'd love to, but I can't do it.
Well, he might come and go in through the back door. Maybe a player, maybe a player can't go, so they'll bring him in.
It wouldn't shock me if that's how him and Merrifield get on the roster, because I really would be shocked at this point. Aaron Judge actually does make a performance.
And that's how Espinal got in. Yeah. A beautiful, beautiful moment when they announced it and everyone's given them a hug, and well deserved too.
Correct. Because you talk about guys that were fire last year. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering really, really, really badly right now. This is one of my biggest questions in Blue Jays' current fandom. Which of Biggio and Espinal are left post All-Star game?
Like if someone's going to get traded?
I really wouldn't be shocked in the midst of that. Because like you mentioned, another gentleman that has got some legs now on the major league level and dipped his toes in a little bit with Ernie Clement. You have two really, really good replacement guys that could be a bullpen piece, an extra piece, whatever it might be. And maybe the aggregate already sitting in your minor league system between Ernie Clement or even Otto Lopez. You know what I mean? Those are the guys that are sitting all the way down your bench, not the ones that are first off of it.
Well, you know what? It's probably going to be whoever's got the hotter hand could bring you the bigger value, right?
Correct.
So if that's Espinal, you know, if they can get something really good in return, pull the trigger. And if it happens to be Biggio and you know, disrespect to Adam Corsair, your former co-host, let it make it so.
I'm in the ballpark that I would love to see. I really think that's what's me thinking selfishly. I'd love to see Biggio stay because I don't want to see my Lansing Lugnuts autograph hat get broken up because I have both Bo and Biggio and Vladdy all on one hat autograph when I had a chance to meet them in Lansing. Right. So I would love to see him finally kick it in and earn a spot on this team. And we've been seeing some pulse to that info. Couple big home runs actually in the last few weeks.
Oh, for sure. What was it? The Sunday game. Hold on, let me grab my schedule here. What was that? Mm-hmm. This last Sunday home game. Was that Minnesota where he hit that huge bomb?
Yeah, that was the one with against Minnesota. It was the only win I think we got. And then he had the big one, big three run home run this yesterday.
Yeah,
to really put it over the top.
Really capped it well. And I mean, he's there was another one earlier in the season too. I think against Chicago. Where that he had a big, big three-run bomb. So, you know what? I mean, it's been a rough. He's had a rough season, but he's gotten better. And he's a contributor. He's a supporting cast member, and if he could support them as best as he can, it's good that he can play multiple positions, and maybe that could be a deciding factor too in terms of Espinal versus Biggio, who you're going to trade.
And that might be the reason one of them is more marketable than the other. You can roll the dice any way you want, but I really am. Yep. You look at how this team needs to improve, and we've seen that the hole is getting to Romano and Swanson. And I really am wondering what they're going to be doing over the next few weeks to possibly bolster that part of the bullpen or even start at the end where Romano is and push everything back. I'll give you 50-50 which things go. We were talking a few weeks ago, as I'm sure you heard. I would love to see Liam Hendricks back in Blue Jays.
Yeah, likewise. Likewise.
So, and then to that point, I'm even thinking I'd pour more gas on that fire, too, with another free agent looking at the White Sox, too, and just steal Lucas Giolito right now. Mm-hmm. So, what do they got to look forward to? The White Sox are a dumpster fire right now. They look like they're, and I'm not trying to be mean with that statement, but it just looks like they can't even communicate on the field, let alone win a ball game. But they've scraped a few together, but they're far from a playoff team.
Well, if they're selling, it's worth
a buy. I'd be shocked if they aren't at this point. Speaking of selling, there is a rumor circulating around Yankees fans that Josh Donaldson might not be with the team much longer.
Well, he's become a bit of a sort of public enemy number one. I mean, we talk about scapegoats, fan bases having scapegoats. It seems like
he's one right there.
He's the scapegoat. And I mean, the guy's just not. It's not the 2015 Josh Donaldson.
No, even close. But you talk about a guy that knows how to win games. And the biggest thing the Yankees have is they got all these youngsters that are starting to come on.
And it's still so, pop. He still has that pop in his bat.
I'd be curious that how well a tandem of Belt and Donaldson would look rotating Gerard DH if he somehow slipped out to the point where he was actually released by the Yankees, because I don't think anybody's picking him up on a waiver. I really don't. They're not going to want to take $20 million that are left on his contract. So I think he's going to get released and the Yankees are going to end up chewing all that money one way or the other if they do decide to go that avenue. I'd take a minor league or a full you know, minimum major league payment on Josh Donaldson to see if that tips us over the hurdle here, especially if you do lose, like we were talking about with the, you know, let's say you trade Espinal or Biggio. Now you got a spot that you could just throw a little bit of money at with somebody like Josh Donaldson, and maybe it tips over the edge here. It could be another Brandon Belt level captain in your dugout.
Yeah. Could be good for just rounding, getting the troops together. You know, and I know a lot of people on Jay's Twitter would love that. I know a lot of people on Jay's Twitter would probably hate that as well and be furious.
Did the other version of this last week with Marcus Stroman.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't care who it is at this point. There's something missing. And maybe that is one of those two is the catalyst that actually tips us over the edge here.
Yeah. I mean, it's silly to think, you know, I mean, we were so spoiled with, David Price and Troy Tulowitzki, right? So that's kind of, that set the bar really high for everybody here in the fan base. So, yeah. But hey, any
the fact that Donaldson was the one that really started all of that with trades in the previous offseason. So,
and you know, sometimes it just takes, you know, just a simple trade can really go do wonder. I mean, the Whit Merrifield trade last year, that's really paid dividends.
Yeah. And we're just waiting for that next piece, like I said at this point. I still don't know what the catalyst is for this team. And maybe it wasn't just glad to get his swagger back this weekend. Could be that damn simple. I have no idea. I'm curious what Donaldson's batting right now is. I know it's not good. Yeah, six home runs, .125.
Oh, that's below Mendoza, right?
Yeah, yes. And, well, to that point, I can't say it's below Mendoza when he's only got really 64. He just hasn't been healthy this year.
Yeah, that too. That's also been a factor. A healthy Josh Donaldson could go a long way.
21 games, 71 plate appearances, 6 home runs, 8 RBIs. Somehow just scored 9 runs too. That's the thing. And one really ridiculous play at third base the other day. You saw that one.
I didn't think
he had arm like that anymore, because you sure as shit last year he was in a Blue Jay uniform, didn't see this kind of arm. So, but hey, like I said, if that's the difference between, you know, a guy that's minor leaguer that's not really cut, I'd take a risk on, you know, Josh Donaldson being the last guy on our bench. Never know what he comes in and does and just swings it, right?
He still has that pop. He definitely still has that pop. And wouldn't be the first time he's bet on himself. You know, in 2018, he was banged up and everything and didn't do really much with Cleveland, and then found his way with Atlanta, a 1-year deal, and kind of rebuilt his stock back up. So
yeah,
who knows what could happen
to get paid for his current contract that he's got this year on, I think.
Yeah.
But at the age 37 season, how much is left into it? But to that point, maybe he's that guy that comes in for a key clutch at bat. You know, I really don't know. But to that point, I would not bet against Josh Donaldson on any level of finding some way to contribute to a ball club. So that's me. He was the answer to one of our trivia questions this week.
Yeah, I've been seeing
and
that.
I didn't even do that on purpose. So do you remember the question?
No, I can't. You got to give it to me again. Although it looks like you already gave me the answer.
Yeah, I know. But to that point, I'll see if you can work backwards here. He is the all-time Blue Jays leader in walk-off home runs. Five in 2015.
And I saw one of those live at the last game of the season. Or last game of the regular season. I almost passed out from the excitement. It was one of those things where you just jump up and you're going nuts and like literally everything starts spinning. And I had to, I was in the 200s. So I just tried to hold my ground and hope I didn't crash into anybody. But
only seen one out of all the baseball games I've been to in my whole life. I've only been present for one walk-off home run.
Oh, yeah.
It was a Blue Jays one, thankfully. And I'll give you the stories. Now you're curious.
Yeah, of course I am. Everyone's curious.
I went up for Vladdy Mania for his debut. I went up for the night.
I was at that game too.
I went up. Brent I stayed Drury. With Brendan Panikkar because I'm like, dude, let's go. And he's like, all right, fine, let's go.
Yeah.
And so I went up and drove up and hung out with him and his now wife. And in the midst of that, I had a really good evening. And that was a great game to see, you know. And it comes down to the last inning. The two people that are the least likeliest people to hit home runs in Blue Jays history had home runs in that game, with Eric Sogard And Brandon Drury hits the freaking walk-off home run of the year, where everybody hated Brandon Drury.
It just barely got over the wall, too, if I remember.
Yep, it was on the far side for me. We were in the what would have been now one of the outfield districts, right above the new Blue Jays bullpen. So I was on the opposite side of the field from where we were sitting.
Yeah, and you know, Vladdy kind of kicked that started because he got his first base hit in that inning. And then if you remember this name, Alan Hansen, it was Alan Hansen that came in. And originally, I thought it was just a double, and Hansen, because Hansen's pretty much sped his way home. But then the horn went off. I'm like, okay, hey, okay. Could you what a story too, right? You got Vladdy coming up. The game is hyped up. Everyone's going crazy. Everyone's in the
season. Major League Baseball Network's there. ESPN is there. Everybody and their brother's there, and including me. I went over a border.
no disrespect to Brendan Drury, but that's how it ends. It's a Drury home run, not a Vladdy home run, not a Justin Smoke home run or anything. It's someone you just least expected, right?
So, and to that point too, Biggio had been up at that point too. So
he was a month later. He was a month later.
I thought Biggio was the first one.
Well, Vladdy came up first, I think, in April. Because they purposely they delayed him so they can get an extra year on his pre-free agency. But I was actually at Biggio's first game against San Diego. I remember thinking, my friend and I had the craziest luck that we got tickets.
Got to see two.
I mean, we buy it in advance. This is like the 10, you know, you can get the 10 flex pack or the 20 game flex pack. And we had just our luck. We picked the games where it's Vladdy's debut and Biggio's debut.
There it is. So I guess I don't want to bury the lead, but I did put a new trivia question up for this evening. I was doing that as our kind of promo for the show this evening, but to that point, did you happen to see it beforehand, or should I just read it off?
Read it off for me.
I got to wait for it to come back up now because I have a horrible memory and I got, you know, three concussions. It's just how it works. All right. Which manager has the most wins in a season for the Blue Jays?
Okay, so we're talking a single season?
Single season.
Okay, well, my go-to would be Bobby Cox, because in 85, they got 99 wins.
You are right with 99 wins.
All right,
thank you. Blue Jays have still never had a 100-win season.
Yes.
So, some really good years in there.
Yeah.
But have not had a 100-win season.
And hard to believe. That was they won more games in 85 than they did in any other year they've had success, especially in 92, 93. And you never know.
They named the drive for 85.
Yeah. And you never know. I mean, if they go on a real hot streak, that could happen. That could certainly, I mean, heck, they won 92 games last year, right?
Yeah.
Well, what's stopping them from winning another 5 to 10?
You're not wrong. If you look at the record we were at last year and everything, it's not terribly different than where we are currently sitting, Eric.
And that's the thing too. That's pretty much, you know, I know we all, you know, after what happened last year, I think we're a little more anxious with how they play, but, you know, it's pretty much the same as 2022 and 2021. Lots of ups and downs.
Yep. So on that note, I am currently now out of material. And we're at the hour mark. But to that point, I saw you had a recent article that I've been dying to read and I haven't gotten it out to get into my feed on my phone. So what do you want to lay on the summary for me, Blue Jays fans?
Well, the latest article, it was released this past Friday. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know if this ever happens to you. Like literally 9 out of 10 times I'll post something and the aggregator site picks it up. And the aggregator site is where I get most of the audience, my traffic. But every 1 out of 10 times, for whatever reason, it misses the net. The aggregator misses it and it doesn't go up and it just, you know, I mean, I'm not expecting thousands of eyeballs on this, but like, this is one
of
those articles. At least
50 would be nice.
You know, it's one of those things. It's just one of those things where it doesn't go up. And I think it's too sort of because I purposely structure my headlines so that it does get picked up. But the most recent article had to do with the municipal election. Today is a municipal election in Toronto. And we're electing, it's a by-election, actually. We're electing a new mayor after the previous mayor, John Tory, sexual relationship with one of his staff members, which brings
it's like every governor here in New York, dude.
Well, so this is the thing. So I don't know if you follow Toronto politics, but this John Tory, button-down guy. They, you know, at City Hall, the press would say, "Oh, he's no Story Tory." This guy was like, you know, the most, you know, conservative, button-down guy, you know, Anglo-Saxon guy, you know, that you could think of. And of course, it's not the first time a politician's cheated on his partner or whatever, but like, you know, it just, you know, no one could beat this guy. This guy won 3 municipal elections in a row, and then this thing just took him out. This thing completely ruined everything for him, and wow. He stepped down. So there were 102 candidates running for mayor of Toronto, and you should have seen the ballot, Craig. It was like a poster. It was like a Fathead poster, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
it was that big, and I don't know if the, you know,
it's like you're filling your Final Four bracket in.
It pretty much, even like it just times it was like the old, we talked about the All-Star punch card ballots. Think of that, yeah. And then put some steroids in it, and that's what the by-election ballot looked like. But yeah.
I know all you Canadians get to just enjoy the wonderful soap opera that is American politics from afar, which I can't say I feel terrible sympathy for right now, knowing what I deal with on a week. But to that point, it's amazing the level of weird and crazy that just goes on in politics in general. It doesn't matter what country you live in, there's always somebody.
Exactly. And anyway, so it's by-election day, and I'm on a news site right now, so whoever's listening to this will already know what's happened. But I can tell you that it appears that Olivia Chow has won the election, so she's going to be the new mayor of Toronto. And looks like she got over 264,000 votes. The runner-up, Anna Bailao, she got, looks like, about just under 232,000. And John Tory endorsed Anna Bailao and sort of in the election after he said, he's like, "I'm not going to participate in the election. I'm not going to endorse anybody." And then a few weeks later, he's like, "Everyone vote for Anna."
There you go.
It is what it is. So it looks like Olivia Chow is going to be the new mayor of Toronto. And anyway, so my recent article.
If anybody wants to read it, we just retweeted it from our account. So
there we go. So
made sure I got you one more click.
Anyway, so my the article just sort of, I kind of just looked at the municipal election with a Blue Jays perspective, because there's been times, I mean, this current election has nothing to do with the Blue Jays, but, there have been times where municipal politics have crossed paths with the Blue Jays. Last year, John Tory participated in a vote on a proposal that was submitted by Mark Shapiro to shut down a pedestrian-friendly program called Active TO that would shut down busy streets so that people could walk, shut it down to traffic so you could get pedestrian traffic. Mark Shapiro submitted a proposal. Saying that this program was affecting fans getting to the game by car. That caused a whole shitstorm on Twitter, as you can imagine. Yeah. And on top of that shitstorm, it was the fact that John Tory is a shareholder with Rogers, the Rogers Corporation. He's an advisor with them. And here you have a bit of a conflict of interest because, of course, Rogers owns the Jays. And the mayor of Toronto is also involved with sort of the leadership team at Rogers. He advises them. So there was a bit of a conflict of interest. The integrity commissioner said, no harm, no foul. But there was one example. And then another example involves Paul Godfrey. Now, you, of course, many fans will remember Paul Godfrey when he was the president of the Jays. But back in the day, in the 1970s, Paul Godfrey played a major role bringing the Blue Jays to Toronto, bringing in an MLB expansion team to Toronto. At the time, he was a city politician. So he basically rounded up the city support, Labatt support, CIBC support, all the owners. He was basically spearheading the group. So there was that. And then, you know, there were other things I played with too. Like, you know, there were, out of the 102 candidates, there were 5 candidates with last names of players or similar to players who played for the Jays. So Saunders is an example and stuff like that. So it was just a fun little article comparing the two. And then, of course, encouraging everyone to go out and vote.
Get on vote.
What did they say on MTV? Vote or die? Something like that?
Yeah, vote or die. And if you go further into horrible South Parkism, it's vote or die, bitch. But in the midst of that, funny enough, you mentioned some of that stuff that is basically trivia stuff to me. You know, here, do you know what other teams were up or what other cities were up for expansions during the year the Blue Jays were? And then it would have been the following one would turn into being the Miami Marlins in the Colorado Rockies.
Oh, so we're talking like the 70s and 90s, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I could tell you Buffalo would have been one. Because
and that was where I was going.
Yeah, because a couple of years ago, I did a post about Buffalo trying to be a major league city, and they got Larry King involved, and there's a video of Larry King sort of hosting this proposal.
Come to Buffalo. It'll be okay.
We said something like, I've seen a lot of baseball, and I could tell you Buffalo would be a great spot. And of course, Salem Field was designed. It's designed as a minor league park, but they designed it in a way so that if there was a major league team, they could easily expand the
city. Kill the highway left field and keep stacking on the city. And honestly, that's part of the reason that is, for Blue Jays fans, I highly recommend making a day trip some point, if you can, down to Buffalo and going to a Buffalo Bisons game and seeing some of the minor league Toronto Blue Jays guys. It is a different vantage point and a closeness to a game that you don't get in Toronto.
Absolutely.
You don't get that in most major league ballparks, period.
I could second that. I've gone, I haven't gone in the last few years, but I did go sort of in my, what I call my PC days, pre-children. Me and my friend would go once a year. We'd get literally sit right behind home plate. That was where I first saw Ryan Goins and where I first saw Kevin Pillar Rowdy Tellez.
Rowdy.
I saw Ricky Romero start with the Bisons and Drew Hutchison with the Bisons when they were trying to figure themselves out. And you're absolutely right. It was an absolute blast. I love, I don't know his name, but hey, you stink. The super fan. I don't know his name, but
there's the conehead that also runs around.
And the conehead, yeah. Awesome guy. Me and my buddy, we'd have a great time. We then head over to, what was it called? Galleria Mall in Cheektowaga. Yeah. Hit up the restaurants there. And
biggest suggestion as a semi-closeness, townie, go to the ballpark and then go to Pearl Street Brewery right afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
A four-floored bar. They make only their own beer outside of the fact that they have some deal with the Sabres Arena where they have to serve blue light. but who cares? Drink everything else on the menu because it's spectacular. And they have some of the best bar food I've ever had in my life. You will not have a problem getting a table because it's meant to handle everybody going to the hockey arena at night. So it's the place to go down there. It's a really fun time. But then you can go before or after, or just do what I did and forget that I went there afterwards. I had too many beers. There might have been a certain co-host from this show that was with me at the time.
Yes, there you go. I'm sure I'll come across the police report one of these days.
Yeah, there it is. Shenanigans were had. But to that point, it was a good time, and it's always a good time. So it's a nice spot in Buffalo there where there's a lot of, like I said, food and bars you can walk right into and whatnot.
And perfectly,
it's right down by the arena.
And perfectly right near the Fort Erie border. Like, that's just brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Just coming in. And you know what? I'll be honest with you, Craig. I didn't go to Bisons games until the Jays were affiliated there. But I remember thinking to myself, holy shit, the Bisons have been around for many, many years. Why did I wait till they were affiliated with the Blue Jays to come visit? I could have gone. I should have. If I knew how good it was, I would have gone sooner. It doesn't matter if they were the Mets affiliate or the Pittsburgh's affiliate, Cleveland's affiliate. I should have gone earlier. I think I would have had a great time regardless of.
For my last trivia thing, did you know that they were actually technically on two separate occasions a Major League Baseball team in Buffalo?
I did not know that. I knew they used to play in this gigantic War Memorial Stadium, but that's.
And funny enough, that's where The Natural was filmed.
Yeah.
So the Buffalo Bisons, they weren't the Buffalo Bisons at the time, but the Buffalo team that has been a AAA affiliate was technically part of the major leagues in like 1908.
Oh, wow.
And somewhere around that twice. So they were technically a major league baseball team for quote unquote, the modern era of baseball.
Okay.
Which I think is still hilarious when we're in year 2023 and we're calling things in 1908 still the modern era of baseball.
And I'm forever grateful that Buffalo was able to take the Blue Jays in 2020 and 2021.
I enjoyed that severely.
Well, of course, yeah.
Because I got to only drive an hour to see them instead of four.
Well, the only problem is when they played the Yankees, it was like pretty much all Yankee crowds. But
I couldn't get into those games.
Thank goodness we had Buffalo.
At least they gave him that little shanty to go in the outfield with as the Yankees opposing dugout and clubhouse and stuff.
Yeah, and the Blue Jays have also put a lot of money into Salem Field. Now they've redesigned it and put in a lot of good amenities. And I just hope the Buffalo and Toronto relationship continue.
It's perfect. It's a match.
I don't
want to
go back. I don't want to have a go back to the days of the 51s being the AAA team.
Yeah, or I think they're called something completely different now. I couldn't believe it when I heard it. I was like, the what?
Besides,
the Aviators.
Yeah, Vegas has to get ready.
Years now.
Vegas has to get ready for their Oakland, basically.
Yes. And that was a fun topic to talk about last week, too. So, but to that point, that'll be a good fun off-season one. Because if they got a stadium, why isn't Tampa Bay good? And just end all of our horrors for going to the Trop. So, anyway, Eric, I want to make sure I give you your shameless self-promoting bit here. So, you know, you were talking about your article, but tell us about Not So Blue Jays Talker.
I think you mean Definitely Not Blue Jays Talk.
There it is.
There it is. Definitely Not Blue Jays Talk, a blog I've been running since 2012. DNJT.wordpress.com is where you can get it. If you find me on Twitter, at the heck, THEHEK, there's a link there as well. And yeah, I try, you know, the idea is just to be an alternative to some of the other sites. You know, why talk about hitting and pitching when Jay's Journal is going to be doing it and Jay's From the Couch is doing it and Bluebird Banter is doing it. So I try to be, I don't want to oppose them. I'm not trying to compete with them because it's me versus, you know, a team of 20 or so. So with each site. So I just like to put something there. So, you know, when you're done going through your Jay's Journal articles, come over to my site and have something, a nice little breath mint.
And to that point, you're welcome here to rant anytime you want.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm honored. By the way, before we check out, happy Canada Day and happy 4th of July to you.
Same to you, everybody. And to that point, I wouldn't be completely opposed to Manoah coming back up. But like I said, I just want to see the Blue Jays win on Canada Day. That's all I care about. And just like many Canadians and us Americans have a nice long weekend here, is I somehow have Monday and Tuesday off for the 3rd and the 4th.
Oh, lucky. We just, because Canada Day is on a Saturday. So Monday is the stat holiday.
Gotcha. So that's the observed day.
Exactly.
So either way, I hope everybody has a fun time. I know you all do about the same kind of things we do on a summer holiday when you barbecue out and enjoy it, but hopefully a ball game.
Yeah.
And have some fun. So, okay. And on that note, you all see me here Monday evening, just like usual. So, Blue Jays fans, until next week, make sure you join us and listen in wherever you get your podcasting.
No picks
from,
to click, by the way? No picks to click?
Well, I don't have enough people here, but if you want to give me your pick.
Oh, sure. Why not? Okay. I think I picked Brandon Belt last time. So I'm just going to go with, the hot handed, hopefully he stays hot handed because he's coming out of it, of his little slump, but Matt Chapman.
Okay. Matt Chapman. Right. Unfortunately, Ken finally lost. It looks like he had Spencer Horowitz because he was leading on him. You know, to that point, if he got some picks, when Belt was going to be out longer, it might not have been a bad one. Oh, I'm sorry. So who did you say?
I'm going to go with Chapman.
Chappie. So then Jano's carried over for Jace. And then I might have actually, Vlad won last week for the guest spot, finally. So the guest spot got a second one on the board and tied with me. shoot, who do I want to pick? Just because you're here tonight, Eric, I'm going to pick Double K.
Oh, boy.
And you made fun of me about it earlier.
To be fair, everyone makes fun of you about it.
I'm still butthurt about the whole thieving thing. That's about it. So that doesn't mean I have to dislike that he's on the team. So anyways, Blue Jays fans, make sure you tune in every week, every Monday at 7:00 Eastern, unless we have our friend Eric here who likes the hour delay, get home from work or whatever shenanigans he's up to.
Thank you for that, by the way.
No, it worked out well. I had a great time. Make sure you join us every Monday night and we can join around and have some more talk here on Blue Jays Watch or Jaybird Watching and talk Blue Jays baseball in our barroom chat style fun. Make sure you get us on YouTube or wherever you get your social media. We are going to start having trivia things every weekday evening. So if you're watching the game, join in with us on all the social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or even LinkedIn. I'm being that guy. And so it'll be posted also as a YouTube short, so you can be able to find it there as well. And make sure you get listen in wherever you get your podcasting pleasures from, because that is the actual original home of Jaybird Watching. Until next week, though, Eric, you remember the deal?
Two claps and Ric Flair.
Two, three.
Woo!
Gail Joseph.
Kelly Gruber.
Kelly Gruber.
Thank you for listening to the Jaybird Watching Podcast. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, at BirdWatchingGC and our YouTube channel. If you want to support the show and get extra content, please consider joining us to our Patreon at patreon.com/birdwatchinggc. Go Jays, go.
Woo!
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.